Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Congratulations to all the really smart people who listen to the Small Business Advocate Show. If you just tuned in, look what you got to look forward to. And if you've been listening already, you know how smart we think you are. And how smart you're about to become, because you're about to enjoy the wisdom from our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and Munchies for Salespeople. Brad is one of our top salesmanship experts in the Brain Trust. He's our good friend. Brad, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you, as always.
You're all on Twitter about it, aren't you?
What's that? You're on Twitter. Yes, I am.
So what's happening out there in the world? You work with a lot of retailers, don't you?
Yeah, I travel all over the country trying to rid the world of poor customer service, and obviously I have a big job ahead of me. So,
yeah.
But it's getting better.
What's the landscape? What's the retail landscape look like out there?
Actually, it's looked pretty encouraging, actually. Yeah, it's not all the doom and gloom that people are saying, and the strong are growing and prospering, and the weak are and being left behind.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a jungle. It's always been a jungle, and it is natural selection, isn't it? I mean, it is survival of the fittest. It is a real ecosystem out there, and the smartest and the fastest and the fittest survive.
Well, it's the ones that dedicate themselves to. I think any business that dedicates itself to personal growth and development is going to be successful.
Right.
Because the number one thing people want of their jobs is the ability to be and or feel successful.
What are you talking to your folks about these days? What's on your mind that you've been talking to your retailers about out there? And, of course, all the things that you talk about pretty much overlay anybody, whether you're retail, wholesale, manufacturing, whatever.
Oh, yeah, it really does. And one of the things that I've been on a quest about, so to speak, is to encourage people to give themselves and the people that work for them all the knowledge that they possibly can in helping to train them to in order to be successful.
Invest in them.
Just invest in themselves and invest in them. And just to give you the mindset of some of the people, I was doing a seminar and a guy says to me, well, yeah, you're absolutely right. We need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do this and all the other things, but what if I spend all this money and train my staff and then they quit? I just had to say, well, what if you don't and they stay?
What did he say to that?
Well, he kind of agreed with me, you know what I mean?
And there is something worse, isn't there?
There is a worse option, and that's they can stay and not get trained. And right. That's what I mean by the strong are going to continue to be strong, and then the weak need to change their thinking a little bit and get on the bandwagon, giving themselves and their staffs every opportunity to be successful.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the specific things, because you've got a little track to run on that you help them with, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's really four areas where people need knowledge, training, and education. And the four basic areas are sales techniques, customer service, product knowledge, and then operational skills.
Sales techniques, customer knowledge.
Customer service, yeah.
Customer service.
Product knowledge.
Product knowledge, and operational knowledge.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's start out with the first one.
Well, let's talk about sales techniques a little bit, and that is just simply give you one example of a guest or a customer says, I'll be back. Do you really think the be-back bus is coming back?
Yeah, just ask them, say, when is that be-back bus going to be here?
Yeah, I know it picks up, but it just never drops them back.
It never seems to drop off, does it?
So if we just understand the customer's mindset that something else is going on, and I think that the reasons that sales are lost, there's numerous of sales or why sales are made.
Right.
And if, in fact, we said something stupid or we didn't address all the issues or we didn't create trust and value, then we need to figure out how to find out what the real objection is and then fix it. because I know that people don't go into businesses where they don't have some want, need, or desire for the merchandise or for the product. And it's just a matter of who's the better salesperson, the customer or the salesperson.
Well, you know, and really, the words we use and the way we use them are very are tools. They're very important tools that we use. If you walk up to someone and say, "Can I help you?" they're going to say no.
Exactly.
But if you say, "What can I help you with?" that stops them. They've got to think a little bit about that, don't they?
Well, absolutely.
And so, or you might even say, "I'm glad you came in, but I don't know what you came in for. What, you know, what'd you have on your mind when you came in the door?" Something like that. Something
Something
that gets them off their beam a little bit, folks, so they can't just come back with a standard answer. Stand by. Quick break. We're going to take a quick one, and we'll be right back with our good buddy Brad Huskin right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. There's that little band from Texas. Welcome back. It's 17 till. We're rocking and rolling with our good buddy Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and Munchies for Salespeople. He's our good friend and one of our top salesmanship experts in the Brain Trust. And, you know, when we went to the break there, Brad, you were talking about the four. We're talking about the four things that you want to make sure that we should make sure our people are doing. And I was talking about the words that we use, and just turning things around a little bit, asking not only asking a question, but asking the question the right way. It's amazing how those little communication techniques and tools can make the difference between somebody who becomes interested in your company and somebody who walks out totally, uninterested.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the things I wanted to point out, is that the words that salespeople say make all the difference in the world between what a customer's perceived value is and what the true value is. And people have to understand first that value is just perception. And until the value that they hold for the money matches the perception of the value they hold for the product or service, we're not going to make a sale. And if we're not using words to explain all the benefits of this product to the customer, then that value isn't going to be there and not going to be perceived, that a sale isn't going to be made.
But the first thing that has to be done, Brad, is the words have to be used to make a connection, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's got to
connect
based on the emotional reason why they're buying.
We got to connect one human being to the other human being. Isn't that why people make decisions, especially with small business owners these days? Isn't that when people make a decision to buy? Doesn't the connection have to come first?
Well, I 100% agree with that, and that's what I tell people, that I call it back to the future selling. Meaning that we're going back to the way it used to be, where it was a one-on-one human being to human being relationship. And that's what a small business person has to do today.
Right.
Develop
right.
a tremendous amount of personal trade, repeat business, and referral business.
Right.
Because they just can't compete with the advertising budgets and the locations and all those other things of the big guys.
You got to work hard to get a customer. You got to work harder to keep them. All right.
Absolutely.
What's the next thing?
What's that?
That first one was
sales techniques. And customer service skills.
Now skills, okay.
Customer service skills kind of coincide with sales techniques, but what can we do to put ourselves over and above the crowd so that when a customer has a want, need, or desire for what we sell, our name comes up first? Is it a matter of sending thank you notes? Is it a matter of sending gifts? Is it a matter of just keeping in contact over the telephone every now and again? But something has to be done in order to let the customer know that they're the most important thing on your agenda.
That, you know, our mutual friend Phil Noman would call that the ding in branding.
Exactly right. In branding,
and
yeah.
Folks, you've got to. The word branding, you've heard that many times on this show before. Well, the last part of that is ding, and when people need what you sell, if you've done a good job of connecting with them and the customer service is there and they feel like you've been thinking about them and that if they called you up, if they connected with you when they needed something, you're going to solve their problem for them. That's when the ding goes off in their mind. And Brad, they see your face or they see your sign or they see the face of one of your employees or they hear maybe something that was very, very comforting and very encouraging from of something somebody in your organization said to them, as in, you know what, we can take care of that.
Absolutely. And it all goes back to what you're saying is the human being to human being and getting people to understand that they have to make the connection and use the telephone as the tool that it was designed to be. And there's 2 in 8 problems with the telephone. One is most salespeople don't want to make the call. The other is most customers don't want to get the call. But the way to get around that is to get them to give you permission for a follow-up telephone call.
Right, right.
And once you do that,
how do you do that? Give us the technique.
Well, just saying to somebody, let me call you in 3 months and follow up to make sure everything's okay.
How about this? How about this? Mr. Jones, I just want you to know that we really take the work that we do here seriously. We want to make sure that you have the best opportunity to be happy with your purchase and with your future purchases. Would you mind if I circle back with you with a quick phone call in 2 or 3 months just to see how things are going and see if there's anything I can do for you?
And they will always say yes.
Who's going to say no to that?
Exactly. And then when you make that phone call and you say, Mr. Jones, this is, you know, Brad with ABC Company, just wanted to follow up, see how you're doing. And, oh, by the way, how was that family vacation to Disney World this summer?
Remember stuff like that.
Exactly. And that's where the connection is being made for the human being to human being relationship.
If you've made that connection like we talked about earlier, they've told you something about themselves. They just bought a new car, they just got a new job, they got a new baby, somebody's been in the hospital, somebody's been sick, whatever, make a note of that. Say, how's your mom? That's connecting, isn't it?
That's where we connect and that's where we relate to people.
And it's the kind of investment that we have to put into doing business these days, isn't it? That's the investment we have to make because we can't afford a big marketing budget.
That's exactly right. And that's where customer service goes above and beyond what the average is doing and
right.
Setting yourselves apart.
All right. The third one.
Third one would be, customer's product knowledge. If you can't answer some product knowledge questions about what you're selling, then there's no sales technique that's going to save you.
You're dead in the water, aren't you?
Exactly.
How many times...
The deck chairs on the Titanic.
How many times have you and I walked into a place and they couldn't even answer my question? Now, I admit I have a lot more questions than most people, Brad. I admit that I'm a little bit of a tough customer sometimes, but we'll talk about this right after these messages. It's Tintail. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Brad Huskin. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Brad Huskin. And Brad, we need to know how to contact you.
Well, the website is www.iastraining.com.
Iastraining.com.
Exactly. And
they can find your books there, and you can find all your...
7703.
I was going to tell them that on your website they can find your books and your other salesmanship products that you sell there, but give us that phone number again.
Okay, the phone number is 800-248-7703. And don't forget my free newsletter.
Yep.
And the big discount for all these Small Business Advocate listeners.
That's right. Be sure to tell Brad that you heard about it on the show, and he'll give you a big discount and autograph those books for you, too, by the way.
Absolutely.
The newsletter comes every week by email, doesn't it?
Yes. It's called Sales Insight, and we send it out every week via email. And it's just a tip of the week or something that you can hold a sales meeting about. And help to increase the skills, ability, and knowledge of your staff.
Absolutely. It's a good site, and whatever Brad does is the best. Okay, Brad, we're talking about product knowledge.
Okay? And I would just encourage people to get all the product knowledge that they can, to read the trade magazines, to play with the things that they're selling so that they can operate them and they can feel comfortable.
And know how people use them. Don't just know how they operate. Know how people use them.
Exactly.
Am I the only one who thinks it's preposterous that you and I have to talk about product knowledge?
I think it's preposterous, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, when you go to a high-end watch store and you're looking at a watch and the guy doesn't know how to set it, what's the likelihood you're going to buy it? You know what I mean?
Right. Let me tell you something else about product knowledge. That this is, it's a little bit of a tangent. But have you ever walked into a place and you're looking for a good product? You're going to spend some money. And the person selling it says, oh, this is our most expensive model. This is our high dollar one. Or, this is pricey one here. I've had them do that to me, and I'm thinking, you know what? You don't need to be selling me this. You need to be doing something else. You need to be flipping hamburgers or something.
Exactly. Just find something you can be passionate about.
Well, and don't. I've had people work for me who were selling stuff that they couldn't afford. Heck, we were selling stuff I couldn't afford.
Sure.
But I said, look, you can't impose your own economic outlook on these customers. If they say they want this, you make sure that you make them believe that you think they're really intelligent for making this decision.
Well, that goes back to everything we were just saying earlier about perception. People have different perceptions for different things, and just because you can't afford it doesn't mean nobody can.
Exactly.
And you need to sell it based on the customer's perception, not yours.
Operational knowledge.
Operational knowledge, things like, how to finance and what the interest rates are and how to write up a sales slip and how to get a repair done and all those kinds of things. I just see so many dumb operational things that are curtailing sales that, I was in a place and they couldn't ring me up because the register ran out of tape, for crying out loud. And I just thought, write it on a piece of toilet paper or a napkin or something, but move me in and move me out.
I've had that to happen. And I've said, look, I'm standing there ready to buy, and it wouldn't be the register necessarily. It'd be some other thing. And they'd say, I'm sorry, we just can't do business with you right now. I've had them to do that before. It's incredible. But you know, the other things, what about in part of operation, proper of the operation, wouldn't it be sort of what's possible? Let's say someone says, well, you know, I want to give this to my wife or my daughter or whatever. And, you know, I need this by Friday because they're, you know, we're going to be meeting, whatever's going to happen. And you say, well, wait a minute, explain to me what's going on. And then you wind up saying, you know what? Why don't I go ahead and order this for you? I can't have it by Friday, but why don't I ship it to where you're going?
Sure.
Absolutely. And it'll arrive when you get there, and we'll insure it to make sure that everything's okay.
Well, anything that the customer needs in order to complete the sale, the salesperson has to know how to make sure that that happens.
Be a problem solver.
Exactly.
And you got to understand what your operation is capable of in order to do that, don't you?
Yep, that's exactly right. And just because the repair department is running 7 to 10 days doesn't mean we can't make an exception to that rule.
Especially if we're talking about a $10,000 bracelet, right?
Exactly.
Let's not lose our head here. Brad, give us your website again, please.
It's www.iastraining.com.
And Brad Huskin, ladies and gentlemen, the books are called I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, which is one of my favorite, and Munchies for Salespeople. And I hope you'll check out the website there. Hey, Brad, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Jim, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Safe travels, sir.
Take care.
Brad Huskin, ladies and gentlemen, it's official. He is the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you Monday.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.